Welcome to Money Matters. We're back to 2 hours here on Sunday mornings, 9 to 11 today. So good morning. We're back to normal time. I know that if you're a huge Georgia fan, and most of you listening are, not most, let's say the majority, then you're probably slightly, you'd rather football season to be just starting rather than ending. Now, if you're an Alabama fan, obviously you've got some games to go. But either way, we're back to 2 hours here, and that's exciting for me, and Ryan Ely, and Scott Maxim. So we're all here, and the Money Matters team, ready to take your calls, questions here on a Sunday morning for the next 2 hours, and talk about probably the biggest roller coaster week we've had all year. So a stomach churner is what Barron's calls this, a stomach churner. And I would say the same thing. So it looked like if you would have just gone to sleep on Monday and woke up on Friday afternoon and looked at the percentage change, you would say, oh, really no big deal for the market this week. S&P 500 up 0.08%, basically flat, did nothing. Weekly up 0.25% for the Dow. But that doesn't really tell the story. The story was much more volatile than that. We finished for the day on Friday, the Dow Jones was up over 300 points, and that got us back into positive territory. So there was a tremendous amount of movement throughout the week. We had some rough days early in the week after European Central Bank President, ECB President Mario Draghi came in, looked a little bit unsettled, looked a little shaky, a little nervous about what they were doing. They didn't provide the stimulus that the market expected, and we had a pretty rough day on Thursday. Then, wham, Friday, up 369 points on the Dow. And that basically got us through even up just a quarter. But here we are, back to Dow Jones Industrial Average year-to-date return, 0.14%. S&P 500, zero for the year, 1.59%. So a whole lot of movement without a whole lot of direction. And that's where we find ourselves today. So with that, here's what we're going to talk about today. The role of dividends. I want to talk about how important, and this is a reminder, refresher. It's probably been, it may have been a year since I've gone over this. And it's important as I look at brand new dividend data, the most up-to-date data to show us and remind us how critical the role of a dividend really is. And we'll go through the decades, the 1930s. How big of a deal was it to get dividends? The 1940s, all the way through until today. It's this dominant theme that we've talked about for many, many years on Money Matters. But it's still a theme that has been under the radar, and it doesn't get a lot of play. Dividends, they don't lie. Companies either have to have the cash to pay you or they don't, and you either get a check from a dividend payment or you don't. There's no gray area there. And I want to remind all of us here, the methodical, and I would say very often unnoticed, it's unnoticed, power of cash flow, dividend cash flow. And we'll do a couple of examples. And it's important to understand how and why it's important to be patient enough over time to collect dividends, because they really do. And again, none of this is magical. It's just math. They really do make up over 45%, getting close to half of total return as an investor over, if you look at the data all the way back to 1930. So they're very powerful, important. So we'll talk about dividend yield and the role of dividends. Also, I want to talk about the role of jobs. We had a huge job number on Friday. Well, not necessarily huge to the upside. It was a good jobs number, but just these job reports are, they're really, what's more important to this economy than jobs? Again, I'm constantly talking about it's the totality of the data that's important. It's not one number. It's not the jobs number or the housing number, or the consumer confidence number or retail sales or manufacturing or durable goods. It's not any one of those numbers. It's the totality of those numbers together, like one big orchestra. It's all the instruments playing at the same time that's important. Well, we got a really important instrument that announced on Friday, and that's the job number, and that's one of the main things the Fed really cares about. So that's what we'll talk about today. And I think if you're a parent or a grandparent, there's this worry that what are my kids or what are my grandkids going to do in this economy in 20 years from now? Things seem to be changing so quickly that it's hard for me to envision where the jobs are going to be. Are the same things we do today going to be relevant for our kids? And if that's the case, and if robots effectively take over and everything is some sort of algorithm, some black box algorithm, or some sort of robotic device that pretty much takes care of everything, then where are we going to work in America in 20 years? So I've written about this, and I want to share my thoughts about this. Again, throughout this show, though, we're live here this Sunday morning. I want to get your phone calls and your questions. So the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. I know it's an exciting college football weekend, one of the best days of football in a long time yesterday with all the different games. But we're back to business here today on Money Matters. So call me here in the studio if you have questions about, well, I don't know, maybe you had a life event recently and something's changed. Something for you mathematically or family-wise has changed the calculus a little bit for the investing that you've been doing and the investing that you're going to be doing moving forward. What is this juncture today? And we're here to give you kind of a second objective opinion about that. Maybe it's just a life event and it changes how you're saving or investing. Maybe you're questioning a mutual fund that you've bought or you've owned for a long time, or maybe it's just an annuity that you feel stuck with, or maybe you're thinking about buying an annuity and you say, hey, Wes, what do you think about this? Does it sound like a good deal or not? Maybe you're wondering how much you're paying just for all the different investing services that you have or the platform that you're on. Is it a good deal? Well, I'll give you my opinion on that. Maybe you have an IRA or some sort of 401k or 403b or the TSP plan, and you're trying to figure out what to do with that, particularly as you get closer and closer to retirement. Or maybe you're 30 and you say, gosh, I have a long way to go. How should I invest the money that's inside of this plan? Because I can tell you, of course, no two investors are exactly alike, but I can tell you a 30-year-old versus a 6-year-old, their portfolios should look extremely different, or most of the time they will look very, very different. Maybe, here's one, maybe you have too much cash and you've been sitting around waiting for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates so you can get a little bit of money, a little bit of interest out of money market. It just hasn't come and it hasn't happened. And you say to yourself, my gosh, I don't have anything going on here. What do I do with cash? How do I get it invested, even though I'm not excited about the stock market? What's this number do you use? Do you use 5% anymore as far as a withdrawal rate? Does it need to be 4%? I've heard an economist recently talk about it needs to be 3%, 2.5% as a withdrawal rate for your planning. What is that number that you should use? A couple huge levers when it comes to retirement planning. What are the right levers to be pulling or counting on? All these are questions that we'll get to this morning. And we welcome that. And that's the fun part about Money Matters. That's why Ryan and I come in here every Sunday morning to talk with you. The number again here in the studio, 404-872-0750. You can also call me at 1-800-WSB-TALK. So let's go and talk about jobs and the future of jobs. And this, the dominant theme for all of this year, really, it's all pinned upon the Fed. Future, what the Fed's going to do? When will they raise rates? And of course, the importance to Janet Yellen, what does she care about? The Fed and Yellen and company, they care about stable employment. They really have a dual mandate. It's two things they care about. The Fed has a dual mandate. It's basically inflation. So price stability, slowly, methodically rising prices. They want that. And they want employment to be effectively a maximum rate of employment. They want inflation around the 2% range. And they want unemployment to be in the 5% or lower range. Right now, inflation is below that level. So it's not quite where the Fed wants it to be. PCE, personal consumption expenditures, prices, that if you exclude food and gas, imagine how volatile energy prices have gotten this year. Exclude food and gas, only up about 1.3% in quarter three. So we're still not quite where the Fed wants inflation. So they still want to stoke the fire a little bit to get inflation going. But jobs, on the other hand, we're really there where the Fed wants us to be. The jobs are there. November, the number we just got this Friday, added 211,000 jobs for the month of November. It also revised higher the job number, up 35,000 from prior months. So the unemployment rate today is right on the nose at 5%. Labor force participation at 62.5%. It's a key number here. I want you to remember this. Labor force participation, 62.5%. Another one of the instruments in the orchestra. It's not the only instrument, but it's an important one. How about this? The U6, you've heard of this. The underemployment rate actually ticked up a teeny little bit to 9.9%, but that has been in a significant downtrend. And it's, again, more about the trend. It's more about where we're headed as opposed to any given particular number on any given day. U6 was 17.1%. March 2010, U6 was 17.1%. Today, it's just under 10%. Where do we get jobs this last report? Well, big gains in services sector, gains in the government sector. We had actually a slight negative, actually lost about 1,000 jobs in manufacturing. Average hourly earnings rose just a teeny little bit, about 0.2%, which is okay. But wages still are in need of more improvement. We'd like to get them above where they are today. They're running at about a 2% positive clip. So wages are going up about 2% a year right now, year over year. Three-month average for jobs. Over the last 3 months, we've added up 218,000 jobs on a monthly basis. But so again, these numbers are good. There are average weekly hours have not been rising. If you look at a chart of this, basically stagnant. We're working about the same amount of hours in America since 2011. So you don't see that the reason wages are soft and not going up a whole lot is that employers are keeping hours in check a little bit. So there's still a long way to go. There's still plenty of improvement left to be done in the employment or the labor market, but we're at a place where the Fed can raise rates. And that's the whole, the reason this is such a big number is that this was the last kind of major data point going into the December 15 and 16 meeting for the Federal Reserve. We're going to hear from Janet Yellen again in a week or two. And we'll know if rates are going up. And we believe very strongly, and I think most of Wall Street believes the same thing, rates are going to go up. And we're going to talk about, though, this job market, where are jobs going to be in the future? We're going to do that straight ahead with more Money Matters right here on WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Jobs and dividends. That's what we're talking about today. Jobs and dividends. We're also talking investments. That's what we do here on Money Matters on a Sunday morning. The number 404-872-0750. Alan joins us from Gainesville. Alan, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help, my friend? Alan, you are on the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. What's your question? How can I help?
You just surprised me. But my son and I started business 10 years ago. This turned out to be very, very successful. But when he left his old company, he had to roll over his 401k into his own private company. That company took him out of some of the best stocks like Home Depot and Microsoft and all that, and have basically invested everything over into the foreign market. They charged him 2.5% every single year to do something I think is really wrong, is to lose about $40,000 over the last 10 years.
Wow. That is awful. Okay. So he's getting charged 2.5%, and over a decade he's lost money. That's pitiful. But
the thing is, it's worse than that because the companies that he had invested his money in, like Home Depot and Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines, he liked investing in the local big companies.
And they've done really, really well.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's some opportunity cost there. But so I guess the question is, why do you guys still have it at this broker?
I've tried calling around to different places trying to find somebody that can come over to our company. The company, we're very, very, very successful now. I mean, very successful. And it's just we're making over $1 million a year. But I would like to provide for my employees and everything else. But I sit here and say, I can't get anybody even to come out there and look at this stuff.
Well, a couple of thoughts here, Alan, before we run into a break, is that first of all, because this is IRA money, it came from a 401k, it's tax deferred. If you've got a bunch of foreign stocks, the easiest thing, and you don't, and some brokerage firms may not hold some of these, and there's extra fees on some of these, the easy thing to do would be to, again, if it's in an IRA at this brokerage firm, is just call them, tell them to sell it, move it into cash. It'll stay in the IRA. And then you can open an IRA somewhere else. Call it Charles Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, and just roll the money into a brand new IRA account somewhere else. Get it out of there. And then you can reassess moving forward what to be doing. But the first step is you've got to get it out of there. 404-872-0750. You are listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News at WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates four times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters right here at WSB Radio. I want to talk, keeping it real simple. If we haven't learned something from Donald Trump, and this was actually really funny in Barron's today, or this weekend, they talked about how you can go to a website called HemingwayApp.com. This is hilarious. And you can, and I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do this and analyze. Hemingway app will analyze the complexity of your writing. You upload something that you've written. It'll analyze the complexity and highlight sentences that will challenge readers or determine there's a lack of challenge. And they go through and they say that evidently Trump communicates very, very well and on a fourth grade level. Ben Carson communicates on a sixth grade level, Rubio and Cruz on an eighth grade level, and so forth and so on. And again, remember, Barron's is, they're very anti-Trump. They've had two Trump articles, so they're never really nice to the guy. But at the same time, you can't, and this is a good thing, I think, is that he communicates well to the people in general. He gets his message across. So if we haven't learned something from him, and I think I've learned a few things from Trump over the years, is to communicate very simply. So maybe that's how money matters. Inflation and jobs. That's what we're talking about. Dividends and jobs. That's it. Anybody can understand that. And so it's a lesson we all learned from Donald Trump. So let's talk about jobs here. We're going to talk about dividends in a second, then we'll go to the phones. The number here, by the way, in the studio, 404-872-0750. But as we talk through jobs here, I want to talk about the kind of the future of where are kids going to work? And where are children going to get jobs if everything's taken over by a robot? And I want to talk through that. And Ryan's telling me we do need to go get a couple of calls first, and then we'll do that. So let me start with Jeremy in Covington. Jeremy, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help, my friend?
Good morning. I was wondering about in my work, there's a retirement plan of 95 and out. So my years of age plus my years of service equals 95. I get 2% for every year of service that goes through retirement. Well, they just offered a package where you could buy up to 7 years and use your money out of your 457 to be able to accomplish this. And the way my 457 is done, I'm really debating about whether to buy those years of service or not. I want to buy like 5 years, which would put me at 55 with full retirement.
All right, so you're pulling forward but again, the benefit, let me understand this more clearly. You're spending your 457 money, but what you're getting, the benefit you're receiving is an extra, your pension will start sooner because that's
correct.
Okay, and you get 2% per year, 2% of your pay for every year you stay of years of service?
Yes, sir.
Effectively, then, if you buy 5 years, you're then getting another 10% of your pay. So let's just say round numbers, your pay is $50,000. You're getting an extra $5,000 per year for the rest of your life.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. And then and also you're done and you could go work somewhere else too.
That's correct.
And how much are they charging you per year?
Well, because I'm 35, and so it's done by the age, and so for me, it's only about $32,000 to buy the 5 years.
All right, so total. So $32,000 total to buy 5 years.
That's correct.
And then, so I guess, have you done the math? I hear kids in the background.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's a good thing. It means you're going to be working for a long time.
Yeah, this is Sunday morning breakfast.
So $32,000 divided by five is you're paying $6,400 bucks a year, right?
Right.
And then what do you, so that'll buy you 2% for the rest of your life. Starting when though? When can you turn on the pension switch? You can't take it today, I'm sure.
No,
that's probably what, 55 or 60?
Till 55. But because that would equal my 95 now, I would have 40 years if I bought 5 years at age 55.
Got it. Okay. But again, you can't start collecting your pension until 55.
Yes, sir.
So 2% buys you how much? Approximately what's your salary?
About 70,000.
70. So that means that you're going to get 14 grand you get 2% per year, right?
That's correct.
So 2% or 1400, I'm sorry, $1,400 times five. So you're going to get an extra $7,000 a year, and it's going to cost you $32,000 to do that, right?
That's correct.
And so you effectively have a break even that is pretty quick. I mean, it's really a 5-year break even. I don't see it. It seems on the surface, unless I'm missing something, to be a pretty good deal. And now, I look also anecdotally, and I know a lot of teachers that have done this over the years are able to buy years of pension. And pensions are so rare, they're so darn stable in most cases, that there's very little substitute for a good old-fashioned traditional pension. I mean, we can all save money, and we can all have a big IRA that produces money for us, and that's great, but not all of us can have a pension that pays every single month for the rest of our lives. And there's an additional value to having that, too. So I very rarely have I known a teacher or someone in the school system that has bought years that is disappointed that they had done so. So I typically see this transaction as a pretty good deal, as long as the numbers work out. Now, granted, you and I are having a 2-minute conversation on the radio. On the surface, it looks like it's about a 4.6-year break even once you get to 55. But we also have to look at what we could be doing with the money. We look at a discounted value for the future, effectively. We've got to factor that in. We don't have time to do it on the radio. But on the surface, this looks like a pretty decent deal. And the other reason I like it even more so is that when you get to that age, there's something really powerful about having a monthly steady pension for the rest of your life. 404-872-0750. Real-time financial planning on a Sunday morning. There is nothing better than this. Right, Ryan? Ryan's like, check your math, Wes. But again, on the surface, that looks like it looks to be an okay deal to consider. I think you also have to just sit down with your CPA or your advisor is kind of the next step here, and go through those numbers and make sure you're accounting for all those years from 35 until 55. What can that money be doing for you inside that plan? So you've got to spend this money. So then you lose the opportunity cost on what that money would be worth in the future. But I still think it might very well work out to be a good deal, but it's a little more complicated than the calculus that we just did live here on the air. So let's get to jobs here. If Ryan's telling me that I don't have to, I'm not necessarily going to a call. We're going to go to jobs here, and we'll do one more call, then we'll go to jobs. Chris joins us from Marietta. Chris, how can we help? What's going on?
Well, I was just interested in lately. Kinder Morgan has taken a big hit this year, past year. And I really liked it because of, you know, the business that it was in and everything. But it seems like even though it doesn't, you know, process oil or whatever, it just ships it, it's really taken a hit. And I was wondering what your thoughts were about Kinder Morgan in the future.
Yeah, it is. It really has. And it's if you look at the MLP sector in general, it has been a rough spot for, if you look at all the different markets, stock market, large, mid, small, bond market, REITs, real estate, you name it. Really, the worst area this year has been anything oil, energy related. So KMI, which is Kinder Morgan now, it's kind of the new version of different Kinder Morgan companies all combined into one, has had, it's tracked the MLPI index. So MLPI is another ETF, it's actually an ETN that tracks pipeline companies and stocks. The two have worked in tandem for a very long time. If you go back over the last, all the way to the beginning of this year, they look almost like identical charts. In fact, go back to 2011, go back 5 years, they look like almost identical charts. But this year, Kinder Morgan itself has now just recently accelerated to the downside and has now done worse than the index itself. And the index I'm talking about here is effectively looking at a basket of pipeline companies. And I think the thought here is that it is the largest pipeline company or conglomerate of pipelines in America, or one of the largest and one of the most stable. But what's happened is that they effectively are paying what seems to be almost too much in a dividend. And with the stock price here, the reason I think this got hit so hard this week is that they want to maintain about a 6 to 10% dividend yield. Right now, that dividend yield is 12%, which is just too high. It's too rich. And even though they want to keep a consistent dividend level, from what I can tell on this stock, there's going to have to be a dividend cut. They can't keep paying out 12% dividend yield. So I think you got a dividend cut coming. That's why we saw the price go down. And it's hard to know here. I mean, really, you've got this, the world of energy, which we keep bumping below this $40 a barrel. We know that even though these big MLP companies effectively have long-term contracts, and it doesn't matter if oil is 40 or 50, they still get about the same amount of money to transport oil. They still get hit when the energy complex in general gets hit. And this has happened now for a full year or even more than that in these big pipeline companies. They haven't been immune to that. So even though Kinder Morgan, from what I can tell, is still a good, solid company, doesn't mean it's not going to cut its dividend. And it doesn't mean that it's completely immune to an industry that's going through their own great recession. So financial services went through a great recession in 2007, 8, 9. Housing went through a gigantic recession in 7, 8, 9. Right now, we're in the middle of a great recession for oil. That's what's happening to these oil companies. They are fighting, they're hanging on with their fingernails to stay in business. And you're gonna see some companies not make it through this, particularly if oil goes down to $30 a barrel. So again, I still believe that this is a company. I don't know that there's that much downside left in the price here, but you've got a company that's going to have to cut the dividend. I think that's going to be coming. I think it's a big reason why you saw that big drop towards the end of last week. So that's the story here, for at least my thoughts on the energy complex, the pipeline industry, which is typically a better place to be than some of the other industries around oil and energy. I mean, you don't want to be with an exploration or production company that's pulling oil out of the ground. It costs them $50 or selling it for $40. Not a very good business model. That's just different, though, than what these pipeline companies are doing. The pipeline companies have a more stable business model. Again, not immune, but that's my thought on Kinder Morgan. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Money Matters right here on WSB Radio. We are an economy that is being overrun, in some people's opinion, by technology and maybe too much innovation. In the past, we've talked about the student's question to Warren Buffett. Remember, there was a group of these college seniors. They said, what are we going to do when we grow up? What if we choose something that provides less income than being a Wall Street investment banker? The discussion, of course, with Buffett said, look, just do whatever you love to do and the money's going to follow. And I certainly agree with that. And he said, even a reasonable income in America is a wonderful thing and a tremendous standard of living. So that's, I think, that's probably the important piece of all of this, just to begin with. But we also know that this number I talked about earlier, labor force participation, has continued to shrink. So there are a bunch of theories on this. Structural. Hey, we're retiring. If we can't find work or the work we really like to do, then good enough work, so we just retire. And that means we've left the labor force. In 1999, the labor force position, LFP, labor force participation as a rate, was 67%. 67% of the population was participating in either working or trying to find a job. Today, the number is about 62.5. That's the number we just got from the BLS. So that's a 5 full percentage point drop, or close to 5 percentage point drop on 300 million people. That's a big number. In an economy our size, the civilian labor force today is about 156 million people. Something that is scaring economists and the community of economists. I think of Robert Shiller, who you may have heard of, the Case-Shiller Home Price Index. So Shiller, by the way, is the guy that effectively invented that. And he's still a very prominent economist today. You see him on Bloomberg Radio, or you see him on Bloomberg Television once a week these days. So he's still a prominent force in the economist, the community of economists. And he is an example of somebody that's starting to get scared a little bit about too much innovation. Where are jobs going to go? Everything's automated. If everything is an algorithm or a robot, then where are we going to have jobs? And that's part of his theory of why bond yields have stayed so low, because people are worried about growth over the next 20 years. There's information tech, artificial intelligence, 3D printers, robotics, internet, the cloud. Is it changing life, and where are we going to be in 30 years? We're going to talk about that in the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters. Yes, we're back to 2 hours here on WSB. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. More Money Matters straight ahead. Singing songs of love.